Book 6, Canto 2, Section 6. Then Ashwapati answered to the seer, "Is then the spirit ruled by an outward world? O seer, is there no remedy within? But what is fate, if not the spirit's will, after long time fulfilled by cosmic force? I deemed a mighty power had come with her. Is not that power the high compeer of fate? But Narad answered, covering truth with truth, "O Ashwapati, random seem the ways along whose banks your footsteps stray or run in casual hours or moments of the gods. Yet your least stumblings are foreseen above. Infallibly the curves of life are drawn, following the stream of time through the unknown. They are led by a clue the calm immortals keep. This blazoned hieroglyph of prophet mourns a meaning more sublime in symbols rites than sealed thought wakes to, but of this high script. How shall my voice convince the mind of earth? Heaven's wiser love rejects the mortal's prayer. Unblinded by the breath of his desire, unclouded by the mists of fear and hope, it bends above the strife of love with death. It keeps for her her privilege of pain. A greatness in thy daughter's soul resides that can transform herself and all around, but must cross on stones of suffering to its goal. Although designed like a nectar cup of heaven, of heavenly ether made, she sought this air. She too must share the human need of grief and all her cause of joy transmute to pain. The mind of mortal man is led by words. His sight retires behind the walls of thought and looks out only through half-opened doors. He cuts the boundless truth into sky strips, and every strip he takes for all the heavens. He stares at infinite possibility and gives to the plastic vast the name of chance. He sees the long results of an all-wise force, planning a sequence of steps in endless time, but in its links imagines a senseless chain or the dead hand of cold necessity. He answers not to the mystic mother's heart, misses the ardent heavings of her breast, and feels cold, rigid limbs of lifeless law. The will of the timeless working out in time, in the free absolute steps of cosmic truth, he thinks a dead machine or unconscious fate. A magician's formulas have made matter's laws, and while they last, all things by them are bound. But the spirit's consent is needed for each act, and freedom walks in the same pace with law. All here can change if the magician choose. If human will could be made one with God's, if human thought could echo the thoughts of God, man might be all-knowing and omnipotent. But now he walks in nature's doubtful ray. Yet can the mind of man receive God's light. The force of man can be driven by God's force. Then is he a miracle doing miracles. For only so can he be nature's king. It is decreed, and Satyavan must die. The hour is fixed, chosen the fatal stroke. What else shall be is written in her soul. But till the hour reveals the fateful script, the writing waits illegible and mute. Fate is truth working out in ignorance. O King, thy fate is a transaction done at every hour between nature and thy soul, with God for its foreseeing arbiter. Fate is a balance drawn in destiny's book. Man can accept his fate, he can refuse. Even if the one maintains the unseen decree, he writes thy refusal in thy credit page. For doom is not a close, a mystic seal. Arisen from the tragic crash of life, arisen from the body's torture and death, the spirit rises mightier by defeat. Its godlike wings grow wider with each fall. Its splendid failures sum to victory. O man, the events that meet thee on thy road, though they smite thy body and soul with joy and grief, are not thy fate. They touch thee awhile and pass. Even death can cut not short thy spirit's walk. Thy goal, the road thou choosest, are thy fate. On the altar, throwing thy thoughts, thy heart, thy works, thy fate is a long sacrifice to the gods, till they have opened to thee thy secret self and made thee one with the indwelling God. O soul, intruder in nature's ignorance, armed traveller to the unseen supernal heights, thy spirit's fate is a battle and ceaseless march against invisible opponent powers, a passage from matter into timeless self. Adventurer through blind, unforeseen time, a forced advance through a long line of lives, it pushes its spearhead through the centuries. Across the dust and mire of the earthly plain, on many guarded lines and dangerous fronts, in dire assaults, in wounded slow retreats, holding the ideals ringed and battered fort, or fighting against odds in lonely posts, or camped in night around the bivouac's fires, awaiting the tardy trumpets of the dawn, in hunger and in plenty and in pain, through peril and through triumph and through fall, through life's green lanes and over her desert sands, the bald moor along the sunlit ridge, in serried columns with a straggling rear, led by its nomad vanguard's signal fires, marches the army of the way-lost god. Then late, the joy ineffable is felt. Then he remembers his forgotten self. He has refound the skies from which he fell. At length, his front's indomitable line forces the last passes of the ignorance. Advancing beyond nature's last known bounds, reconnoitering the formidable unknown, beyond the landmarks of things visible, it mounts through a miraculous upper air, till climbing the mute summit of the world, he stands upon the splendor peaks of God. In vain thou mournst that Satyavan must die. His death is a beginning of greater life. Death is the spirit's opportunity. A vast intention has brought two souls close, and love and death conspire towards one great end. For out of danger and pain, heaven bliss shall come. Time's unforeseen event, God's secret plan. This world was not built with random bricks of chance. A blind god is not destiny's architect. A conscious power has drawn the plan of life. There is a meaning in each curve and line. It is an architecture high and grand, by many named and nameless masons built, in which unseeing hands obey the unseen, and of its master builders, she is one. Queen, strive no more to change the secret will. Time's accidents are steps in its vast scheme. Bring not thy brief and helpless human tears across the fathomless moments of a heart that knows its single will and God's as one. It can embrace its hostile destiny. It sits apart with grief and facing death, affronting adverse fate, armed and alone. In this enormous world, standing apart, in the mightiness of a silent spirit's will, in the passion of a soul of sacrifice, her lonely strength, facing the universe, affronting fate, asks not man's help nor God's. Sometimes one life is charged with earth's destiny. It cries not for succor from the time-bound powers. Alone, she's equal to her mighty task. Intervene not in a strife too great for thee, a struggle too deep for mortal thought to sound. Its question to this nature's rigid bounds, when the soul fronts nude of garbs the infinite, its too vast theme of a lonely mortal will, pacing the silence of eternity. As a star uncompanioned moves in heaven, unastonished by the immensities of space, traveling infinity by its own light, the great are strongest when they stand alone. A God-given might of being is their force. A ray from self-solitude of light, the guide. The soul that can live alone with itself meets God. Its lonely universe is their rendezvous. A day may come when she must stand unhelped on a dangerous brink of the world's doom and hers, carrying the world's future on her lonely breast, carrying the human hope in a heart-left soul to conquer or fail on a last desperate verge, alone with death and close to extinction's edge. Her single greatness in that last dire scene must cross alone a perilous bridge in time and reach an apex of world destiny where all is won or all is lost for man. In that tremendous silence, lone and lost, of a deciding hour in the world's fate, in her soul's climbing beyond mortal time, when she stands soul with death or soul with God, apart upon a silent, desperate brink, alone with herself and death and destiny, as on some verge between time and timelessness, when being must end or life rebuild its base, alone she must conquer or alone must fall. No human aid can reach her in that hour. No armored god stands shining at her side. Cry not to heaven, for she alone can save. For this, the silent force came missioned down. In her, the conscious will took human shape. She only can save herself and save the world. O Queen, stand back from that stupendous scene. Come not between her and her hour of fate. Her hour must come, and none can intervene. Think not to turn her from her heaven-sent task. Strive not to save her from her own high will. Thou hast no place in that tremendous strife. Thy love and longing are not arbiters there. Leave the world's fate and her to God's sole guard. Even if he seems to leave her to her lone strength, even though all falters and falls and sees an end, and the heart fails, and only are death and night, God-given her strength can battle against doom, even on a brink where death alone seems close, and no human strength can hinder or can help. Think not to intercede with the hidden will. Intrude not twixt her spirit and its force, but leave her to her mighty self and fate.